As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Lil Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Lil Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
Jeff Mitrott is an excellent reporter on a number of issues for the Star Tribune. He and multiple reporters looking at charter schools, and a story and a couple stories well worth your time. Jeff, always a pleasure. Jeff, like Shaletta Major on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Jeff, what is the easiest way, do you think, to capture for folks who might be confused about what is a charter school and what is not a charter school? How would you summarize them?
That's a great question. You know, a lot of people think charter schools are private schools, and some of them really operate that way, or they act like that, because, you know, they have sort of special populations. They might be mostly special education students. They might be mostly Somali students. They might be mostly Native American students. And so that often makes people think that they're private schools, when in fact they're public schools are supported by tax dollars, just like traditional public schools are. But they get about 70% of the funding, and they are under much less oversight and operate with a much freer hand than the traditional schools do.
Okay, so
the biggest difference is the people who run these schools, they don't have to have any education licenses whatsoever. And one of the schools that we've written about recently is being run by a guy who used to be a janitor.
Okay. Does he have any background in education at all?
He doesn't even have a 4-year college degree.
Okay. So that's how easy it is to set up a school and say it's a charter school.
That's right.
That is rather stunning. Okay, on the oversight, okay, do the schools want it in any way? Is the state requiring it? Is it tied to funding in any way? Because I think people ask those questions also.
Well, the biggest, I think, problem with our charter schools isn't that it's just a bad idea. It's that the state has abdicated its role of supervising these schools and handed that to 12 separate entities, mostly nonprofits, a few educational groups like St. Thomas University, a couple of public school districts. Some of them are doing a great job, Most of them are not. Some are doing a terrible job and have allowed schools where almost nobody's learning anything to stay open for years and years and years, even though they're supposed to terminate their charter if they are not meeting their goals, if they're not doing a good job of educating these kids.
But regarding terminating their charter, there must be nothing binding them, because some of these schools where the scoring, to be honest, is disastrous, they continue to exist, correct?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we wrote a story, you know, in the run-up to the series about a school in Minneapolis called Minnesota Internship Center, where they had 4% of the kids were even showing up for class. Their attendance rate was 4%. None of the kids were proficient in math. So, and they've been around forever. So how does a school like that stay open? It's because the authorizers aren't doing their jobs. The authorizers are turning a blind eye to these abysmal failures and just renewing their charters year after year after year. The state, the only job the Minnesota Department of Education has is overseeing the overseers. They, every 5 years or so, will write a report on how are the authorizers doing. And invariably, even if they give them terrible grades, the authorizers are allowed to continue. Of the 50-plus groups that have acted like authorizers in the 30-plus years that we've had charter schools, only one of them ever had their ability to operate as an authorizer terminated by the state. Mm. And that one, they ran two of the best charter schools in Minnesota. They weren't kicked out because they were doing a bad job. They got kicked out because their paperwork wasn't up to snuff.
That's where they drew the line. That's when they said enough is enough. Not kids aren't showing, 96% of the kids aren't showing, not the test scores, not a lack of oversight, but you forgot to duplicate a form, and that's when the charter school was told you're done?
Well, that's just inexcusable. Yeah. I mean, we can't allow that.
Unbelievable. Honestly, again, Jeff Mitrott is with us. You can tell he's great. He's a great writer. Again, we're talking about 13 of the 203 charters have consistently exceeded the state average in math and reading. 13 of the 203 have consistently have done this. I talk about this frequently. I have a son who is on the spectrum. He has finished his schooling. You pointed out in your first answer, there are schools that deal in special ed. There are schools where English is a second or third language. So when some people want to try to justify some of the scoring as low as it is because they're taking unique kids in who face different challenges that some of the other mainstream kids have, does that hold up?
Well, that's why we wrote the story about Rhode Island. And anybody who looks at the demographics of Rhode Island would have to admit this is a state that looks a lot like North Minneapolis. This is a state full of poor people, full of people of color, full of special populations that would seem to usually bring down test scores. And what did we find is that Rhode Island did better than any other state in the country at running their charter schools, because instead of having a bunch of authorizers do it, the state does it. And their standards are very high. They've imposed a moratorium on charter school growth so that they don't have, you know, schools popping up all the time just because somebody got a harebrained idea for a new school. They have to go through some very rigorous vetting to even open a charter school there. And only one of them is closed in their history. None of them have closed for financial reasons. And most of those kids are going on to college. And these are kids who have all the challenges that our most challenged students face, and they're kicking butt out there. And it was really inspiring. My partner, Mara Klecker, went out there for mm-hmm. a week and hung around. I think she was at 10 or 12 of these schools. And she just came back just knocked out by what she saw happening in those classrooms and how different the vibe was from the charter school classrooms here in Minnesota.
This is Jeff.
Too many of them.
Yeah, this is Jeff Mitrott from the Minnesota Star Tribune. You're hearing troubling data from an excellent communicator. He and Mara have written this up, multiple stories. Check it out, Minnesota Star Tribune. So let's talk about the politics of this. The Republicans will often say that Democrats, because they get so much money for the teachers' unions, that they don't want to vary from public schools. Republicans will often say, how much money is enough, then Democrats will say to Republicans, well, you just want private schools. You want private schools, and you want to separate the kids who don't have enough money for those private schools. And then a lot of Republicans might come back and say, vouchers, let's give kids an opportunity. What is likely, because you know this has happened many, many times, when your paper, your writing included, has spotlighted a major issue, and then all of a sudden a governor or legislators get involved, because you and others have written about charter schools before, is it your sense that this might stimulate it again? Or because we're sitting here in September and the legislature is pretty far away from now, that's unlikely to happen?
Well, I've worked in places, Illinois, Louisiana, where we could do a project like this and nothing would change. The thing I love about working in Minnesota, we got pretty good public officials here. I know you don't hear that a lot, at least from people in the press. There's always a lot of bashing about whoever the local polls are. But you know, I'm very impressed with how responsive government is here. They get embarrassed by when Minnesota's not doing things well. And they, in response to many of the investigations I've done, they have passed new laws to fix problems that we've highlighted. And it's happened almost every time we've gone out on whether this things I've worked on, many other reporters at the paper. We all have had this sort of very happy experience. And so I would expect there to be some reform coming out of this. You're right, the politics of it are dicey. Republicans we've heard in the state are generally more pro-charter school. Democrats are more anti. You know, the teachers union, which is, you know, generally more left, is a sort of anti-charter schools. They want a moratorium on any new charter schools. And teachers, you know, traditional districts see these schools as a threat, an existential threat, you know, because it's kind of a lose-lose game right now where, you know, the charters aren't doing well enough to survive and are closing, but they're stealing students from the traditional districts, and that's hurting them too. So it's something that you would think the state would want to get right, so that maybe, you know, all the sick cows can get well.
Yeah, right.
And so, you know, I'm optimistic. And like I said, if we were somewhere else, that probably wouldn't be.
Well, I'll let you go on this, Jeff. If the legislature and the governor, who knows, that could be Governor Walz, it could be new Governor Peggy Flanagan, and we don't know the makeup. Will the Democrats have the trifecta? Will the Republicans at least have one level of the legislature? If they could only step in one or two areas, where they could only agree in one or two areas, and it would give these schools, which are floundering, a better chance, where should they step in?
I mean, what's the most important reform? What's the thing the state's got to get right first?
Yes, exactly.
All right. Well, a lot of people would point to funding, but I'll point out the Rhode Island schools get the same level of funding our schools do, so I don't think that's it. I think the fundamental difference is holding these schools accountable for student performance. And the one thing the Minnesota Department of Education is not doing right now is factoring in student performance when they grade the authorizers. If you change nothing else, for God's sakes, let's make student performance a factor. That just seems so obvious.
Right.
How do you not make that part of the equation?
And also understand, if you're a special ed directed charter school, there are different standards. But if the idea, as you know better than I, Jeff, we're going to be more creative, we're going to try different things, then don't just put everything with the same level of standards. But, hey, I've got a crazy idea. Have standards and have requirements and have follow-up. And as your story points out and this conversation points out, that doesn't exist.
No, the state's gone the other way. In fact, last year, they excused all eight of the high schools seen by Pillsbury, United Communities, from any meaningful state oversight whatsoever. They're no longer held to the same state standards that regular traditional public schools are. And Pillsbury is one of the worst authorizers in Minnesota.
Unbelievable. Great reporting, Jeff. I always appreciate you coming on. We'll reach out again. Thanks so much.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Jeff Mrytrot, he's the type of journalist we need in America, and we're lucky to have him here at the Minnesota Star Tribune.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Jeff Mytrot is an excellent reporter. A number of issues for the Star Tribune. He and multiple reporters looking at charter schools, and a story and a couple stories well worth your time. Jeff, always a pleasure. Jeff, like Shaletta Major on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Jeff, what is the easiest way, do you think, to capture for folks who might be confused about what is a charter school and what is not a charter school? How would you summarize them?
That's a great question. You know, a lot of people think charter schools are private schools, and some of them really operate that way, or they act like that, because, you know, they have sort of special populations. They might be mostly special education students. They might be mostly Somali students. They might be mostly Native American students. And so that often makes people think that they're private schools, when in fact they're public schools are supported by tax dollars, just like traditional public schools are. But they get about 70% of the funding, and they are under much less oversight and operate with a much freer hand than the traditional schools do.
Okay, so
the biggest difference is the people who run these schools, they don't have to have any education licenses whatsoever. And one of the schools that we've written about recently is being run by a guy who used to be a janitor.
Okay. Does he have any background in education at all?
He doesn't even have a 4-year college degree.
Okay. So that's how easy it is to set up a school and say it's a charter school.
That's right.
That is rather stunning. Okay, on the oversight, okay, do the schools, want in any way? Is the state requiring it? Is it tied to funding in any way? Because I think people ask those questions also.
Well, the biggest, I think, problem with our charter schools isn't that it's just a bad idea. It's that the state has abdicated its role of supervising these schools and handed that to 12 separate entities, mostly nonprofits, a few educational groups like St. Thomas University, a couple of public school districts. Some of them are doing a great job. Most of them are not. Some are doing a terrible job and have allowed schools where almost nobody's learning anything to stay open for years and years and years, even though they're supposed to terminate their charter if they are not meeting their goals, if they're not doing a good job of educating these kids.
But regarding terminating their charter, there must be nothing binding them, because some of these schools where the scoring, to be honest, is disastrous, they continue to exist, correct?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we wrote a story, you know, in the run-up to the series about a school in Minneapolis called Minnesota Internship Center, where they had 4% of the kids were even showing up for class. Their attendance rate was 4%. None of the kids were proficient in math. So, and they've been around forever. So how does a school like that stay open? It's because the authorizers aren't doing their jobs. The authorizers are turning a blind eye to these abysmal failures and just renewing their charters year after year after year. The state, the only job the Minnesota Department of Education has is overseeing the overseers. They, every 5 years or so, will write a report on how are the authorizers doing. And invariably, even if they give them terrible grades, the authorizers are allowed to continue. Of the 50-plus groups that have acted like authorizers in the 30-plus years that we've had charter schools, only one of them ever had their ability to operate as an authorizer terminated by the state. Mm. And that one, they ran two of the best charter schools in Minnesota. They weren't kicked out because they were doing a bad job. They got kicked out because their paperwork wasn't up to snuff.
That's where they drew the line. That's when they said enough is enough. Not kids aren't showing, 96% of the kids aren't showing, not the test scores, not a lack of oversight, but you forgot to duplicate a form, and that's when the charter school was told you're done?
Well, that's just inexcusable. Yeah. I mean, we can't allow that.
Unbelievable. Honestly, again, Jeff Mitrott is with us. You can tell he's great. He's a great writer. Again, we're talking about 13 of the 203 charters have consistently exceeded the state average in math and reading. 13 of the 203 have consistently have done this. I talk about this frequently. I have a son who is on the spectrum. He has finished his schooling. You pointed out in your first answer, there are schools that deal in special ed. There are schools where English is a second or third language. So when some people want to try to justify some of the scoring as low as it is because they're taking unique kids in who face different challenges that some of the other mainstream kids have, does that hold up?
Well, that's why we wrote the story about Rhode Island. And anybody who looks at the demographics of Rhode Island would have to admit this is a state that looks a lot like North Minneapolis. This is a state full of poor people, full of people of color, full of special populations that would seem to usually bring down test scores. And what did we find is that Rhode Island did better than any other state in the country at running their charter schools, because instead of having a bunch of authorizers do it, the state does it. And their standards are very high. They've imposed a moratorium on charter school growth so that they don't have, you know, schools popping up all the time just because somebody got a harebrained idea for a new school. They have to go through some very rigorous vetting to even open a charter school there. And only one of them is closed in their history. None of them have closed for financial reasons. And most of those kids are going on to college. And these are kids who have all the challenges that our most challenged students face, and they're kicking butt out there. And it was really inspiring. My partner, Mara Klecker, went out there for mm-hmm. a week and hung around. I think she was at 10 or 12 of these schools. And she just came back just knocked out by what she saw happening in those classrooms and how different the vibe was from the charter school classrooms here in Minnesota.
This is Jeff.
Too many of them.
Yeah, this is Jeff Mitrop from the Minnesota Star Tribune. You're hearing troubling data from an excellent communicator. He and Mara have written this up, multiple stories. Check it out, Minnesota Star Tribune. So let's talk about the politics of this. The Republicans will often say that Democrats, because they get so much money for the teachers' unions, that they don't want to vary from public schools. Republicans will often say, how much money is enough? Then Democrats will say to Republicans, well, you just want private schools. You want private schools, and you want to separate the kids who don't have enough money for those private schools. And then a lot of Republicans might come back and say, vouchers, let's give kids an opportunity. What is likely, because you know this has happened many, many times, when your paper, your writing included, has spotlighted a major issue, and then all of a sudden a governor or legislators get involved. Because you and others have written about charter schools before, is it your sense that this might stimulate it again? Or because we're sitting here in September and the legislature is pretty far away from now, that's unlikely to happen?
Well, I've worked in places, Illinois, Louisiana, where we could do a project like this and nothing would change. The thing I love about working in Minnesota, we got pretty good public officials here. I know you don't hear that a lot, at least from people in the press. There's always a lot of bashing about whoever the local polls are. But you know, I'm very impressed with how responsive government is here. They get embarrassed by when Minnesota's not doing things well. And they, in response to many of the investigations I've done, they have passed new laws to fix problems that we've highlighted. And it's happened almost every time we've gone out on whether this things I've worked on, many other reporters at the paper. We all have had this sort of very happy experience. And so I would expect there to be some reform coming out of this. You're right, the politics of it are dicey. Republicans we've heard in the state are generally more pro-charter school. Democrats are more anti. You know, the teachers union, which is, you know, generally more left, is a sort of anti-charter schools. They want a moratorium on any new charter schools. And teachers, you know, traditional districts see these schools as a threat, an existential threat, you know, because it's kind of a lose-lose game right now where, you know, the charters aren't doing well enough to survive and are closing, but they're stealing students from the traditional districts, and that's hurting them too. So it's something that you would think the state would want to get right, so that maybe, you know, all the sick cows can get well.
Yeah, right.
And so, you know, I'm optimistic. And like I said, if we were somewhere else, I probably wouldn't be.
Well, I'll let you go on this, Jeff. If the legislature and the governor, who knows, that could be Governor Walz, it could be new Governor Peggy Flanagan, and we don't know the makeup. Will the Democrats have the trifecta? Will the Republicans at least have one level of the legislature? If they could only step in one or two areas, where they could only agree in one or two areas, and it would give these schools, which are floundering, a better chance, where should they step in?
I mean, what's the most important reform? What's the thing the state's got to get right first?
Yes, exactly.
All right. Well, a lot of people would point to funding, but I'll point out the Rhode Island schools get the same level of funding our schools do, so I don't think that's it. I think the fundamental difference is holding these schools accountable for student performance. And the one thing the Minnesota Department of Education is not doing right now is factoring in student performance when they grade the authorizers. If you change nothing else, for God's sakes, let's make student performance a factor. That just seems so obvious.
Right.
How do you not make that part of the equation?
And also understand, if you're a special ed directed charter school, there are different standards. But if the idea, as you know better than I, Jeff, we're going to be more creative, we're going to try different things, then don't just put everything with the same level of standards. But hey, I've got a crazy idea. Have standards and have requirements and have follow-up. And as your story points out and this conversation points out, that doesn't exist.
No, the state's gone the other way. In fact, last year, they excused all 8 of the high schools seen by Pillsbury United Communities from any meaningful state oversight whatsoever. They're no longer held to the same state standards that regular traditional public schools are. And Pillsbury is one of the worst authorizers in Minnesota.
Unbelievable. Great reporting, Jeff. I always appreciate you coming on. We'll reach out again. Thanks so much.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Jeff Breitrot, he's the type of journalist we need in America, and we're lucky to have him here at the Minnesota Star Tribune.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.